You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
7:03 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris is down in Florida taking care of the business with the house and getting things straight there. And Baltimore Ravens just played the Washington Commanders, and we talked about the impressive young quarterback down there, Jaden Daniels. Well, former Commanders tight end Logan Paulson, he was impressed by a quarterback, but it was one Lamar Jackson, and this is what he had to say about Lamar.
I think the other thing that really stuck out to me is being on the sideline, and I don't know if I would have noticed if I was watching the TV copy, is the amount of communication Lamar does at the line of scrimmage, getting into right plays, into the correct plays, correct runs, correct protections. I think the touchdown to Mark Andrews is a great example. Like, they check to, you know, whether it's cover six, cover two, cover four, they check to a route combination where you're attacking the middle of the field because it's split safety with a guy who's really good at Mark Andrews. He checked to that. He checked to the Derrick Henry, you know, like the first time they ran the sweep to the left, he checked to that play. A couple of the play action passes, he looks out, he sees it's man coverage, he checks to those plays, and it was like a cheat code. It was really like his ability to identify the coverages. You know, Joe Witt Jr., like, could he have done more potentially to disguise some of the coverages and like make that a little bit harder? But I don't know if anybody thought, I know I didn't think it, that like he had that kind of ability at the line of scrimmage, you know, very similar to Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, to just get you into the right look consistently. That was super impressive. And I, even the screen, like they checked to the screen, like a lot of the big plays, explosive plays in this game came from his communication and mastery of that offense. So it's one thing to kind of scheme up a defensive look, but then and it's one thing for the defensive coordinator to call something, but when the guy on the field who's playing the play can say, oh no, like this is a better play, this is the right look, and the coordinator's ability, offensive coordinator Todd Monken, to get him to give him that flexibility, I think that really showed up big time for me at critical moments, like especially on those long drives. It's like you could tell they obviously had a run called. He gets up the line of scrimmage, he checks, and maybe the play call is a run check to a pass. You'd have to ask someone over there in Baltimore about that. But I just thought those plays were backbreaking.
That's Logan Paulson on the Take Command podcast. That's in fact an Odyssey podcast. You can check that out on the app if you want to hear it.
That was really good. Who sent that?
You did, idiot.
Oh, okay.
Now, here's the thing. We hear people talk about Lamar Jackson's physical ability all the time. Okay, I get it. He's Superman. But that's the first time I heard someone give Lamar props about
football IQ?
The IQ.
So,
and Logan Paulson was in, if you listen to him, he was in awe. Mm-hmm. Like, this effing guy.
Well, because I think most people, including people that want to see Lamar fail, will judge him unfairly based upon things that they haven't seen. The one thing that people say is he can't throw, and then you'll give him the completion percentage. Well, he can't throw the deep ball. Okay, so he's got to get better at that, right? Is that something we all can agree in, getting better at throwing outside the hashes, hitting runners in stride, some of those things? The one thing that I've been adamant about is that he reads defense as well. And what we didn't know pre-snap what was going on, I thought he went through his progressions. But seeing this stuff pre-snap, it just takes us back to what we thought about Greg Roman. Why are you getting the play in so late?
Yes.
You worried he's going to change it to something that's better? You know, so, God, I was watching him this weekend chewing on his stupid-ass toothpick.
Let me say something to you folks. And I know this is not a college football area, and I've said this several times before. This is not a big college football area. All right? Before I say this, I'll give you, for 11 years, I did AP Top 25. AP All-American team, Heisman Trophy voter. I love college football. I know college football. Lamar Jackson was in Bobby Petrino's offense. Bobby Petrino's offense is regarded as one of the tougher offenses to run in all of college football. Jeremy?
There's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of verbiage. There's a lot of things.
It's a tough offense, man. That's the offense that he ran. He's not an idiot.
One of the big problems I have is people will look at guys in sports and go, oh, he's just athletic. He's not smart. You know, like we've heard this about LeBron James, where people just don't agree with some of his viewpoints or just don't like him for the sake of not liking him. Have you ever listened to him break down basketball and talk about what happened in a game and what he saw?
Uh-huh.
If you're a basketball fan, it's freaking poetry. The guy's, he's brilliant. He's a genius when it comes to the sport and understanding the game.
Right.
You don't have to like him for whatever his beliefs are, some of the things he says, whatever. But what I'm saying is from that standpoint, and it's weird because I think a lot of people would look at Lamar, that Southern accent, if you want to call it that, the fast talking. Oh, I don't understand what he's saying for most people. I think he gets dinged for some of these things that don't make any sense.
And who are you? Honestly, I mean, most of the people that tell you you speak bad English, if you listen to them long enough, they screw it up as well.
Well,
you know what I mean, let me listen to you talk for long enough, you'll screw it up. You'll say something wrong. You'll pronounce it wrong because it's how you got used to pronouncing it growing up.
Well,
for most of the people that talk to you about your language, you didn't make the English language. And if I listen to you long enough, you'll screw it up.
Absolutely. And the other part about this that I really like is that Ed told the story before when they were filming The Wire, they tried to do Baltimore accents. And then the viewing group that they had looked at it and said, are these guys all special needs? Like, is something wrong because of the accent?
Yeah.
Because of how you sound. So even though, like, Jason Campbell was another guy from Auburn, played for Washington, they were talking about how country he was. It was hard to understand him in the huddle.
Yeah, but he wasn't good, though.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like, people will hear it, and just because you don't understand him or you didn't come from that background.
He wasn't dumb. He just wasn't good.
That's fair. But I'm just saying, like, sometimes because you're listening to a guy talk or you look at how he dresses, you've already made your decision on whether or not that guy's intelligent. And that's unfair.
It is. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on Fan. It's just good to hear, you know, someone who's played the game, you know, acknowledge the mental aspect of the game that Lamar brings to the table. Let's go to Timonium and get Bob. What's up, Bob?
How you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Bob, you trying to change your accent on us right now?
No, I've had a little trouble here with hearing anything. But, hey, I just wanted to call in. It's been on my mind for over a year and about Jeremy going over to see his grandfather. And this goes for you too, Rob. My mother had Alzheimer's, and the hardest thing for us to do was to go into that facility to go over there to see her. And I've been listening to Jeremy, and I know he goes over there, and Rob, same way with you, with your mom, every chance you get. And I just want to commend you for it. Keep doing it. If you don't, you're going to regret it one day. Just keep going over and singing them. Do the best you can do. It's a depressing place, but he knows you're there, man. I just want to let you know that, and I really appreciate what you do for you.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate that. And, again, like we were talking about it earlier, just going over there, Not a lot of people visit their family. There are some people in there that have been there for 4 or 5 years that haven't seen a family member that entire time. And you got to understand, they're on a, what would you call it, a ward? They're on a single area. They can't leave. Most of them can't leave the area. So they're kind of stuck watching whatever's on TV, just sitting in the hallway, falling asleep in their wheelchairs, staying in their room. It's almost like being in prison. You know, and again, they're not restricted the same way some other guys are, but there are a lot of restrictions. And the more and more you go there, you get used to seeing some things that you're uncomfortable with. My big thing is just trying to put some smiles on people's faces over there by being goofy and telling some of my dad jokes when I go over. But I mean, Rob, you got to see it firsthand. It's not fun. It's hard. And the hardest thing about visiting someone that has dementia over and over again is pretending to be interested in the stories you've heard 1,000 times. It gets tough. So,
World of Stupid at 8 o'clock. Don't go anywhere for that. But on the other side, it's looking more and more like the Pittsburgh Steelers is going to make a quarterback change at 4-2 with no injury. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
You know, Justin has been really good. We've been really good at times, but not to be confused with great. Man, this is a competitive league, man. We're trying to position ourselves to be that team. We got a player that hadn't had an opportunity to play, so we're going to potentially explore those things. Sometimes it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with what Justin has done or has not done. Justin has been an asset to us, man.
I don't get it, Tomlin. I don't get it. Your team's 4-2. Justin Fields, the guy you're talking about, is completing 66% of his passes, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception, and a passer rating of 93.9. I don't know about you, Jeremy, but I got the feeling the entire time before the injury to Russell Wilson that Mike Tomlin didn't want Justin Fields quarterback of this team.
It kind of feels that way, but the other thing I would say, too, is if you start looking deeper at Justin Fields' statistics and things like that, there are some things in the passing game that are unbelievably wanting. Like the stat you gave, the completion percentage, a lot of it's underneath. They had in their last game that they won, or was it 2 weeks ago, where they had 3 drives with only 6 yards passing that they scored touchdowns on. 3. You had 1 pass for 6 yards on your 3 touchdown drive. Now, some people might say, well, the running game must have been spectacular. Mm-hmm. Okay. Defense was good, getting short fields. I just don't know that that's a recipe for winning in this league. And I think Tomlin's making the move earlier rather than later, because I think this is – when you start playing better teams, this is going to come up. And why can't – and again, I like Justin Fields. I would rather see him out there more than Russell Wilson. You know how I feel about this. But they're going to give this guy a chance to show him what he can do. And ironically, this game this weekend I don't think is an easy game for Pittsburgh. I mean, when you – you're coming in facing another team that has a decent record – and, you know, I know a lot of people are going to try to decide on if they want to go to Pittsburgh, if they want to go the other route. And they're facing the Jets. So it's Sunday Night Football. And now with the Jets adding Devontae Adams, we have to see what they're going to look like. I don't want to be the guy. I don't want to be Ed fooled by the Chargers when I keep thinking the Jets are finally going to put it together.
Yeah, you keep saying this.
Yeah.
They're not good.
Well, they're 2-4.
They're not good.
Not all 2-4 teams are created.
Exactly. Equal. They're not good. This is the same conversation we had 3 weeks ago about the Saints. I'm like, look, come on, guys.
Well, the Jets are favored on the road at the Steelers, so it should tell you something.
Yeah, it tells you that Russell Wilson is starting. Russell Wilson isn't. I would take the guy who would galvanize my team versus the guy who thinks he's better than my team. That guy can't quarterback my team. You're not a guy. No one's playing for you. That team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, are not going to play for Russell Wilson. I think they play for Justin Fields. And I don't know for a fact, because I'm not in the locker room, and maybe Tomlin sees something about that that we don't see. But what is it about Russell Wilson that suggests to you that guys are going to rally around him and play for him? Yeah. There's nothing. Nothing.
There's nothing in the history. His teammates have badmouthed him
exactly.
More than they've supported him.
He couldn't. And for that reason alone, Jeremy, you can't quarterback my team. You can't do it.
Do we have any? I mean, I know we do. Steeler fans out there, I wonder how they feel about it.
410-583-1057 is the number, you Steeler fans. Call in. Don't call in bumping your gums bad about the Ravens. We ain't having that. We want to hear how you feel about Russell Wilson starting for your football team this weekend. Possibly. It sounds like he is. He's taking all the first-team snaps.
Yeah, it already looks like he is, and that was the rumor that was going on. But again, if it works out, here's Mike Tomlin doing things that most people wouldn't, and we'll see. Because they're still, like, we keep talking about the AFC, and I keep bringing up Houston, Kansas City, Baltimore. Who's good? Steelers' record says they're good. I just don't buy it. And maybe they'll prove us wrong or prove me wrong
at
some point.
No, it's... Dude, Mike Tomlin is the exhibit A of coaching matters. I saw something he did, an interview he did, I saw it on IG, when he was saying he loves when coaches don't want to coach, when they don't take the challenge to coach, when they get guys who may be projects and don't coach them up. This is why I'm so surprised this move with Justin Fields, because this feels like the moment that he was talking about in that interview where he can coach a guy up.
Yeah.
He's not coaching Russell Wilson up. Russell Wilson's been around too long, ain't listening to anybody in the first place, unless he's going to go through Russell Wilson's agent to coach him up. I think Fields is a guy that, that, you know, but then again, you know, I'm hoping it doesn't work. I'm hoping it doesn't work. 410-583-1057. Let's go to Severn and get Danny. What's up, Danny?
Hey, Rob. Hey, Jeremy.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay.
You are still a fan, right?
Die hard.
Okay, all right. You rather
74.
You rather have who?
I'd rather have Justin Fields over Wilson.
Why?
Just because he seems like he's getting it. He's you know, getting the job done.
Yeah.
And I don't know what Russell Wilson's going to do. So.
And I'm speaking as just a football guy, not a fan of the Steelers naturally, but. That's the same way I feel about the situation. He's a guy. Mike Tomlin is a coach. He's the ultimate coach. And it feels like, to me, it seems like Fields would be that guy that you wrap your arms around and he does it your way, more so than Wilson. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Thanks a lot, Danny.
Yeah.
We wanted to hear at least from one Steelers fan what he felt about it. So, he said the same thing I said.
I think that's going to be most people's takes on it. I don't know how many Steelers fans have watched or like Russell Wilson and haven't watched what's transpired over the past couple of years. There's a reason why he was out on the scrap heap. It does kind of piss me off, though, because I was one of the few guys that didn't like Russell Wilson, and I got vilified for it, saying there's just something off with him, and then now this is happening, and I don't even get to gloat about it. Don't even get to sit here and go, I told you, you guys browbeat me for years for this.
You're not going to win Super Bowl with either one of these guys. But to me, it seems like the better bridge would be Fields. You're not winning the Super. Neither one of these guys is winning you a playoff game in January on the road.
I think one of the things they kept bringing up were, if you take away George Pickens and look at the other receivers, go look at their numbers and how many targets they've had, how many completions. For six games, it doesn't even look like they've been throwing the football.
World of Stupid at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, our barbershop topic of the day. Jeremy Kahn.
Mm-hmm.
Rumor out there has it that Ron Mountcastle could be on the move. Jeremy Kahn is a ghostwriter on that article.
Get out of here. You guys piss me off with this. Get under my skin.
Should the Orioles move on from Mountie and bring in a veteran like Paul Goldschmidt? That's the rumor. Ghostwriter Jeremy's been writing. Barbershop topic of the day up next on The Fan. Ghostwriter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, this is the Jeremy Kahn segment here. So, Ryan Mountcastle of the Baltimore Ravens,
I forgot what we were doing,
Baltimore Orioles, is eligible for arbitration again next year. Many people say he could make upwards of $17.5 million. The question is, do you want to pay $17.5 million to Ryan Mountcastle? He'll be a free agent 2027, so he has two more years left in arbitration. Last year, he missed some time. He missed some time over the last 2 years. 2023, he played 115 games. 2024, played 124 games. He batted .271, OPS of .733, which was down from last year, 40-something points. He had 13 home runs down, 63 RBI. Would you be, and this all jokes aside, would you be opposed to trading him and bringing in a veteran hitter? We keep saying they need a veteran bat, like Paul Goldschmidt.
So a couple of things. I really do like Paul Goldschmidt a lot. He did have his worst year of his career last year. And still, if you look at the numbers aren't awful. It's just you expect a lot more for a Paul Goldschmidt.
245, 716 OPS, horrible for him. 22 home runs, 65 RBI. He's 37 years old.
And let's think about that Cardinals lineup, too. There's not a lot of protection. And I'm not trying to dismiss a rookie in Mason Wynn that's leading off for him, who was one of the guys that could have won Rookie of the Year in the National League this year, but fell off a little bit. And then we had the Jackson Merrill-Paul Skeen show. And then Nolan Arenado, who at times this year didn't look like he could catch up to a fastball.
No, he didn't.
And that's starting to – that gets scary because he's always going to bring his defense, but if he's not running into a couple – I don't know how much you want to pay for just this great defensive third baseman. And again, the rest of their lineup's just kind of okay. And St. Louis needs to stock their farm system, needs to get better with younger talent.
So you think he would be better here?
Paul Goldschmidt?
Yeah.
I absolutely do, just because of the lineup and his career, fresh start.
His career OPS is .892. Now, he's 2 years removed at the age of 34, leading the league in OPS at .981. And slugging at .578.
Can I say something that I can't believe I'm going to say? I think Ryan Mountcastle has more pop than Paul Goldschmidt. Now. I mean, if you've looked at him the past couple years. Now, granted, you got to look at where Paul Goldschmidt was in a great hitter's park in Arizona for years. Former MVP player. Goes to the Cardinals, and it really hasn't amounted to what they thought. They had the one playoff run, and then just got absolutely smoked in an elimination game by the Braves.
But it wasn't Paul Goldschmidt's fault. His numbers with the Cardinals, he's batted .278, .360 on base percentage with an .843 OPS. So,
but what did we see last year? Is he more of the guy we saw in those previous years, or is the star fading?
That's why, Jeremy, you know, for years I love Paul Goldschmidt.
Mm-hmm.
I love him. Vinny Serrato knows that. I introduced Vinny Serrato to who Paul Goldschmidt was. I don't want him. I don't want a 37-year-old replacing Ryan Mountcastle. If you're going to trade Ryan Mountcastle...
But hold, what if you get a pitcher back for Mountcastle or you get something of value back?
I'm still replacing Ryan Mountcastle in the lineup. You got to give me something better than that.
But you're getting better elsewhere.
I'm not trading for Paul Goldschmidt. Paul Goldschmidt's a free agent.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, that's the... It's not you're getting rid of Ryan Mountcastle and just bringing in Paul Goldschmidt. If you trade Ryan Mountcastle, if that's what they want to do, you're bringing something else back, whether it's a bullpen arm, another bat.
Hear me out. I'm not opposed to the trade. But don't tell me the answer is Paul Goldschmidt.
I understand that. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You want to Paul Goldschmidt is not coming back to us in that trade. So that's fine. If you got something you want out there and Mountcastle's the answer, go for it. However, don't tell me a 37-year-old who's on the decline is the answer for Ryan Mountcastle.
But, so I'll ask you this, too. Is the writing on the wall for – we know Basayo is going to be coming up, whether it's next year at some point at the beginning of the year, which to me means that you're eventually going to see an Adley Rutschman go to first base or one of these guys kind of platoon, play first base, DH, catch. I'm interested to see how they use them both, but do you want to lock up a first baseman, somebody else – until that time comes. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that you're going to go out and give a 5-year deal to a first baseman, but I do think you could get a Paul Goldschmidt or a veteran on a 1 or 2 year deal if you decide to trade Mountcastle.
Okay. All right.
And I'm not saying I'm for trading Mountcastle, but it was the one thing that we've always talked about, and you can bust my chops in a second, but it's the one thing we always talked about where it's like, where can you get better on the field without understanding some of the young players you have that aren't going to move on, that's their spot. I mean, you could say, okay, Jordan Westberg goes back to second. They find a great third baseman. Alex Bregman's on the open market. What if you did that? Where's Jackson Holliday going? Is he going to the outfield? There's got to be a corresponding move to everything you're doing looking at this team's future.
I just got a text from Mike Naughton. This is the point we didn't even make. We're better in the infield with Ryan Mountcastle. Now,
Paul Goldschmidt's a good defensive
baseman. I'm 27 years old. I'll be a free agent after the 2027 season. The position I play increases my value. You ain't moving me to first base if I'm Adley Rutschman. You're not moving me to first base. You decrease my free agency value by moving me to first base. What makes me valuable is the fact that I'm a catcher. My numbers are amplified because I'm a catcher. You don't get to – now, if you want to move me after I sign my deal – fine, but pre-deal, you're not moving me to first base.
And hear me out. I'm not saying that he solely gets moved to first base. I'm saying you're playing multiple positions. They're finding ways to get the best lineup on the field that they can. But I agree with you, because where his value comes in, and there's so many people that are down on Adley Rutschman for the way the second half of the season went. You guys are crazy.
He's hurt.
He's going to be fine.
He's hurt.
Yeah. He's going to be fine. And that kid can absolutely ball. And I can't wait till we get back to next year and people are going, damn, we forgot how good he was.
Yeah.
Because he did. He had a bad year.
He had a bad year after he got hit on the head. He's hurt. Yeah. I'm convinced. No one's told me, but I'm convinced.
And he's never said it either.
He's not going to say it. You'll find out once he has that procedure in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is.
Well, you're seeing like a lot. This is what people don't realize. Like a lot of guys are banged up and playing through it. The playoffs are going on. The Padres lose. Luis Arraez just had thumb surgery. He'd been playing with a busted thumb and a ligament damage in there just to keep playing because it's the playoffs.
Yeah. And for those of you that say, well, if the team wants him to play first base, then he play. Nope. Nah, bro. If the team wants me to play first base, if they offer me an extension like I'm a catcher and I want it, that, and then they say play first base, well, yeah, we can do it. We can do it. But you're not decreasing my value because you want to make a trade and you want me to fill in the void. No. I started this gangster stuff. He started it.
Yeah.
You don't move him.
Well, the other thing here real quick with Paul Goldschmidt, 4-time Gold Glover, former MVP, 5-time Silver Slugger. Again, that's all in the past. It doesn't mean he's that guy now. He's still really good defensively. So I don't think you drop off as much as you'd think if moving on from Mountcastle at first base. But again, like, you in the front row? You got a question?
He's 37. I'm not replacing Ryan Mountcastle with a 37-year-old on the decline. I'm not doing it.
But you don't have to do it for the long term. And again, it's what is Mountcastle bringing you back? Because that's the thing we're not talking about.
Hit me out. If you want to trade me, I'm not going to bust your chops. You know why? Because that's over. If Ryan Mountcastle trade brings me something of value, hey, I'll go down there. Ryan, I'm going to miss you, man. Can't wait till you come back to Camden Yards.
You hear that, Steve? He wants to trade him.
I don't, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's the business of baseball. However, once you do that, Paul Goldschmidt can't be the answer.
For a year, it can be. Because you don't know if they have other plans down the line.
Like, I don't care about down the line. We're down the line now.
Where's Kobe Mayo playing?
We're down the line. Okay, let that be your answer. We're down the line now. This is down the line. You can tell me down the line in 2022, maybe 2023. But in 2025, you can't have a down the line conversation with me anymore. Well, we're there.
That's why they have to take a hard look at themselves and see what types of moves they want to make. Does Kobe Mayo have a spot on this team, whether it's DH or at first base?
Now,
if you have Ryan Mountcastle.
No.
What happens with Jackson Holliday?
Let me back up a second. If Kobe Mayo is your first baseman, or Goldschmidt and Kobe Mayo could DH, then maybe Kobe Mayo can fill Ryan Mountcastle's. I just don't want an aging.
No,
you understand what I'm saying?
No, I get it, but they need some vets. That's clear. We've talked about it.
This is my problem, Jeremy. This is my problem. At 37, can you still play every day? See the look you just had on your face? My issue. Want to hear from you. 410-583-1057
is the number. Played 154 last year.
A barbershop topic of the day. Should the O's move on from Mountcastle and bring in a veteran like Paul Goldschmidt? If not Goldschmidt, then who? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. All right, Con Man. You trade Mountcastle, you get some pitching back, then who at first base? Let me give you a blind taste test, all right? Mm-hmm. I'll be 34 years old. Of opening day. Last year, I came off of a season which I missed some time. I only played 130 games. I batted .251 with an OPS of .803. I had 26 home runs and 84 RBI. However, I came off of two consecutive seasons where I had over 30 home runs. And one of those seasons, I had 100 RBI. And I'm also a 2-time Gold Glove winner.
Is that former Oriole?
That's Christian Walker.
Yeah.
He's a free agent. Why not go after him? Open up the checkbook!
Well, that's what we find out in the offseason.
If you tell me, you trade Mountcastle and that's the answer, I'm all for it. So, I'm all for that. 2-time Gold Glove winner also.
But I'm going back to it, to looking at it not just for this year coming up.
Uh-huh.
Where is Kobe Mayo playing if he's part of your future? Are you going to platoon and use the DH and the catcher when Basayo and Rutschman are here? And then on top of it, like, where does this team see themselves going? Because if you're going, okay, we could probably get better at do something at third base, move Westbrook back to second. Where are you putting Jackson Holliday? All these things have to coincide, and something has to be done.
I don't need probablys. I'm putting Jackson Holliday at second. I'm putting Westbrook back at third because he's the best third baseman on the team defensively. Kobe Mayo, that's a bridge I'll cross when I get there because...
Well, that bridge is here now, though.
I got to win now.
But that bridge is here with him.
Well, we may put him part of the trade and get him something even bigger. But if I can get Christian Walker, a proven major leaguer, I got enough of my... If I'm the GM, man, I've got enough of my prospects. I showed you what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need another one. What I need to do now is get deep in the playoffs. So now, instead of me just loving my prospects, hey, listen, man, I got a guy who could be Rookie of the Year this year, a guy who was Rookie of the Year last year. I got Adley Rutschman.
You got a guy who's going to be Jackson Rookie Holiday. Of the Year next year.
I got a guy Rookie of the Year next year. I got, I mean, stop me. Stop me. What, okay. All right. Then I got this guy right here, Kobe Mayo, where the worst thing I have is I don't have a place for him. Why don't I have a place for him? Because all of my other prospects hit. So...
Well, that's
I got to be the best version of me, and that's a – you play spades?
I play hearts. It's the white version of spades.
Play spades is you count your books or you count a possible.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Walker is a book. Kobe Mayo is a possible.
I don't disagree with that, but because he's here, until something happens, you have to figure out what you're doing. Who's the DH next year? Are you platooning it? Is Ryan O'Hearn back against righties? Is Kobe Mayo your DH against lefties?
Well, you just said Basile's coming up, so, you know, sometimes he DHs, sometimes Allie DHs.
So then is that position gone? Is that what you're doing? You're going to get those guys to play as much as they can.
Yep.
But if that's your DH, so now you have no spot for Kobe Mayo whatsoever.
Let's go to Ray in Baltimore. What's up, Ray?
Hey, good morning, y'all. Thanks for having me up in the shop. Let me get a temp fade real quick.
You got that.
I'm on that.
You want it tapered?
Taper and leave it alone up top.
I got you. What's on your mind?
Hey, I appreciate you. Hey, I think we can all agree this team needs a little bit more experience on the team. And Jeremy asked a critical question before the last break, talking about where on the field can we afford to get a little bit older if we're going to do it. And I think first baseman is probably the best spot to do it. And I think historically that's where a lot of teams do it. And I think the last time that we did have a very strong veteran presence on this team was Trey Mancini at first base. He's 5 years older. He's not 37 years old. He's 32 right now. But he was a little bit older than Mountcastle was, and there was even calls for, at that time, getting younger at that spot.
Can I tell you, can I tell you something, bro? Can I tell you something honestly? Trey Mancini was never veteran presence on his team. That's what the media said. That's what fans wanted. He was never the veteran presence in that clubhouse. That's false. I agree with everything else you said, but Trey Mancini was not the veteran presence in that clubhouse. See, in order to be the veteran presence, the players have to say you're the veteran presence. The media can't sell it. The fans can't want it. It has to be real. Jeremy wasn't real.
Can I pose something to you?
Go ahead.
So there's a couple different things here, and there was some talk of it last year, although it probably didn't make as much sense for the Orioles. We kept pointing this guy to the Astros. Vlad Guerrero's in the last year of his deal.
I wanted him last year, if you remember.
Ryan Mountcastle is the Blue Jays' daddy. They killed two birds with one stone by getting him.
And the Orioles?
He can't hurt you anymore. He's on your team.
You can't hurt me anymore. Yeah.
And not that Steve wants to go to Canada all the time, but I'm sorry, Steve. If you're doing this with Vlad Guerrero, then obviously everything makes sense. If you're moving on another player, then you got to pay the guy after the season, though.
I hope the guy who wanted to fade is not saying bring back Trey Mancini. I think that's where he was going down that road.
Really?
Yeah.
He's out of the league.
But doesn't matter. He can bring back the magic of the Orioles. It's just not true. Stop it. It's not true.
And I know there's some people out there saying, well, who cares about Kobe? Look, he's here, and they wouldn't move him last year. So that,
for a reason.
That makes me think that he's a big part of their future. And whether that's – I can't see him playing third base consistently at the major league level. I do think there's a possibility that Jackson Holliday ends up moving to the outfield at some point. Maybe they keep him at second base, but I think that's a possibility. So you have to start looking at some of these things. What happens with Cedric Mullins next year? Are you comfortable? Is he coming back in center field, or are you making a decision there? Are there any other trades that we're not talking about? Because Mountcastle gets brought up because there's value there.
Yes, there is.
So that's not, like, even when I bring it up, it's not, oh, I hate Mountcastle.
No, I never thought you hated him. I just like messing with you.
Can you isolate that for me so I can hear that every day, Joe?
Let's go Antonio and Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning.
Good morning, man. How are you?
Sons of bitches.
Good. As I would say, happy Friday, babe.
Happy Friday, babe.
Can we see oil? How you guys doing?
Good. All right, how are you, man?
Good. can we see Orioles number two prospect Sam Bustelo as backup catcher next year with James McCann, a free agent? And you guys have a wonderful day.
You have a wonderful day as well. Yeah, Antonio, I think Jeremy and I are on the same page with this. I think Bustelo is on this roster at some point earlier, sooner rather than later in 2025.
Yeah.
If not out of spring training, out of camp, well, I mean, which I think he will be.
I think he's going to be here out of camp.
Yeah, he'll be. He's got to be. You can't hold him back anymore.
And again, he's. I can't wait for people to see this guy on a regular basis. You know, like we have so many of these guys, but it's just a matter of you're very, very young and you're ahead of schedule. Maybe it does make sense to go out and spend money on a Corbin Burns and try to keep him here so you have that vet starting pitcher. You know, we've talked about looking for your guy. Now you have your guy for the next couple years, but you also have Grayson who's, you know, growing up behind him and he's getting better. Bradish and all these things that can happen. I don't know if they end up bringing him back. Again, my thought process is that we don't see Santander back and we don't see Burns back.
Now I'm going to jump on you like a spider monkey, man.
Well, I'm just telling you that's what I think happens. I'm not saying that's what I want to happen. Because we haven't even talked about Kierstead. Where the hell is he playing?
By the way, Nicole just texted in and said, stop talking baseball.
Which Nicole?
Not Masoni.
Okay.
She said, stop talking baseball.
No.
All right.
What, you want to talk football the whole time? Is she a football girl? Is that what it is?
She's a baseball girl in the summer, football girl in the fall.
Oh, it's seasonal.
She's seasonal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some would say she's clueless, but I wouldn't say that.
If you're seasonal.
Some would say she's sports clueless.
Why don't you tell her if she's seasonal, go get one of those pumpkin spice lattes and shut it up. She's your friend. I'm kidding, Nicole. I'm sorry. Are you getting another text? Because you're probably going to get a nasty one about me. I'm kidding. But do get one of those pumpkin spice lattes.
Oh my gosh. Gordon McGinnis joins us at 8:30, but on the other side is the world is stupid with Jeremy Collins.
Well, here's what we're going to get
pumpkin
into.
Spice latte.
I want to talk about the death of Liam Payne. I don't know if you heard about this,
yeah,
the One Direction
man.
Star. Does it seem a little odd to you about him falling out of a balcony at the age of 31 in Argentina and dying? We're also going to talk about a stupid TikToker. If you're going to go out and make displays and do things that say, oh, I'm for this and I'm against this, make sure you're ripping down the right flags. Because if you're against Israel, don't be ripping down the Greek flags. And that's what this goofball did. And then afterwards, they're like, I'm sorry, I didn't know. People are just trying to be so outrageous with everything.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And lastly, I got to talk about super fans in sports, most notably Fireman Ed, who's upset that he's not getting enough TV time.
Didn't he like quit the team at one point?
Yes. So we'll get into this. Fireman Ed, goofball. We'll talk about all that in the world of stupid next here in The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.